Welcome back to Stateside. Well, it's Thursday, time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. And Daniel, you're still picking through the rubble of the UAW's bid to unionize the workers at the Volkswagen plant in Tennessee. We know those VW workers said no thanks to the UAW, that the vote was 712 to 626. What do you see as the deeper implications of that no vote?
Well, it's a couple of things. One is, I think, and to me, the biggest thing is that the UAW can't run away from its history. And what I mean by that is it is inextricably linked into what's happened to the auto industry here in Detroit. We've had two very high-profile bankruptcies. We have a city, the home of the UAW, that is currently in the largest municipal bankruptcy in American history. And the UAW has been unsuccessful in its efforts to organize any of the foreign-owned plants down south. And I think that this latest development isn't going to help them. Additionally, they're only representing part of the American-based auto industry. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of other companies that are building product with American workers in the United States. Now, they may be foreign-owned, they may be German, Korean, or Japanese, but they are also building product and selling product to Americans in the United States.
Without being in the under the mantle of the UAW.
Exactly right. So the UAW really is not representative of the entire auto industry in the United States. And as a result, they don't have the kind of bargaining and what economists call rent-seeking power that they had back in the 50s and the 60s when essentially Detroit represented more than 90% of the vehicles sold in the United States. Now that number is less than 50%. And as a result, they really can't command the premium wages and benefits that they once did. And therefore, it's a much tougher sell for people down south that have a new auto plant, a new manufacturer. You know, Volkswagen has come back to the United States for the first time since, I think, about the late 70s, early 1980s, mm-hmm. when they were in Pennsylvania.
Right.
They've been largely serving the U.S. market out of Mexico and Germany, and now they've got a plant in the U.S.
Well, you write in your column in today's Detroit News that Volkswagen AG's top labor official says efforts to get the UAW into that Tennessee plant will continue, which puzzled me. Is he saying that the union's going to keep trying and the company will stand on the sidelines? Because one might almost think from that statement the company is supportive of the unionizing efforts, or did I read that wrong?
No, I think you read it exactly right. I mean, people need to understand a little bit about Volkswagen. Volkswagen is the largest manufacturer in Europe. It's the largest in Germany. It's also 20% owned by the government, specifically the state of Lower Saxony. And so you've got government involvement. Therefore, decision-making historically has been skewed towards the benefit of the government in that region. Secondly is their supervisory board, which is equivalent to our board of directors in an American style. Half of the membership come from labor. So the guy who I'm quoting in this column is a representative of labor on the supervisory board. They are driving this ship, in a sense, and Volkswagen is essentially putting its finger on the scale to help the UAW, and even with that help, they were not successful in doing it.
I think
what he means by this is they're going to continue to they are going to complain. There are going to be complaints brought. They're going to support complaints to the National Labor Relations Board. The Republican officials down in Tennessee said things they shouldn't have said, despite the fact that management essentially agreed to say nothing, not pro, con. They opened the plant to the union organizers. They said, you can have meetings here. We won't have any meetings telling people the benefits of non-unionization, because they have a different tradition in the German system, and particularly Volkswagen.
Well, that seems like a dream scenario for the union, because you wouldn't get that same, I would imagine you would not see that same level of hands-offiness from Nissan or Toyota or the other transplant automakers.
Oh, you can take that to the bank. And I think that's why this is so symptomatic. There's an argument, the UAW made the argument, Bob King made the argument, that this winning this vote is critical for the future of the union. That maybe is debatable. I think it's actually fairly highly debatable. But what is critical is their ability to organize other transports. And I think if they can't get it done with Volkswagen, with them essentially standing mute, it's going to be very difficult to do it at Nissan, and very difficult to do it at Toyota or Honda or probably, to some extent, BMW in South Carolina and Mercedes in Alabama.
Hmm.
You know, South Carolina is very anti-union as a state. So I think that the hope that they're going to get some traction in South Carolina or with BMW management, I would say, is probably not very good, which is why you never hear them talk about it.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House deconstructing the UAW's loss with the vote at the VW plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Always good to talk to you. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thanks, guys.